It can't all be kittens and puppies and animal cruelty. I think some of the first words that I ever heard out of Anke Meebold's mouth had to do with 28mm film. At the EMEA conference in Portland, during the formation of the Small Gauge and Amateur Film Interest Group, of which I unwittingly was about to become chair at the time, Anke then was talking about a survey of 28mm holdings in film archives, a survey which she worked on, I believe, with Chad Hunter of the George Eastman House. And it's resulted in some very interesting findings, and she is here to talk to you today about some 28mm films, and I'll let you hear from her a little bit more about them. But I believe she also enjoys pina coladas. So.
I had forgotten that part. I should try them again. First of all, I think we should just start rolling the amateur film, and I'll talk over it, even though it's a bit of a crime always, I think. But go ahead. This film was bought at a yard sale. Jeff Economy, film archivist and filmmaker, acquired it in Chicago, and it probably dates from around 1920. How's the film doing? And all we really know about it is what's on the film and, of course, what's on the label of the can. So it says Charles G. Boom. It's a label of the Pathé Scope Company of Chicago. And to be honest, it is likely that it could either be an amateur film or it could have been shot by the Pathé Scope Company commissioned by Charles G. Boom, sort of just as a documentation of a festivity in which he or his family were partaking. And according to census data, which Eli Cevada picked out, Charles G. Boom was a salesman of boxes, which somehow seems not entirely in keeping with the theory that mostly affluent people were able to have 28mm cameras and do home movies in that gauge, since it was quite costly. Twenty-eight millimeter was basically an exhibition format that was marketed seriously starting in 1914 by the Pathé Scope Company of America. Willard B. Cook had bought the rights to this format, which came from Pathé Frères in France. He had bought the rights in 1912. Pathé Frères basically started selling their own 28mm equipment and films in 1911 already. They had safety film material available in 1909 for the market. And the negatives of this format were in nitrate only. The positives were non-inflammable safety film. And the format sort of covers all bases of non-theatrical exhibition field. They do what they call salon cinema in France. Later, it's more or less home entertainment. And the format was also widely used in the educational field as well as in the religious arena. And the requirements for non-theatrical exhibition of public nature were either a portable booth, which seems a bit of a contradiction in itself, or the use of safety film. So anytime you were not in a professional equipped theater, you in theory would be using safety film in the teens in the United States. And the 28mm format via the Pathé Scope Company of America would have been basically the main venue renting film to these markets and selling stocks and selling equipment. And the gauge was standardized in 1918 as the safety standard by the SMPE. And this would have been only basically roughly a year after the professional format 35mm nitrate had been standardized by the SMPE. So there were Pathoscope company branches in the major cities, as they claim. How many of those really are is not entirely known to me yet. Definitely Boston, Chicago, New York, Pittsburgh, West Coast, I think San Francisco, definitely, and probably more. And then Philadelphia, yes. And then in 1923, Willard B. Cook, who had been the head of the enterprise, basically defects to the Codascope libraries. Kodak had been aware of the efficiency of his operations and decided that he would be the perfect person to organize their rental library. And that sort of marks the demise of 28mm in the U.S. There were, I mean, we can sort of mention this at this point, other companies who also worked in 28mm based on Alexander Victor's equipment. And amongst them, there would have been Sam Bryan's grandfather, also called Samuel Bryan, who operated out of Buffalo. He had a company called the United Projector and Film Company, and he was the president of that one. And it seems to have had a fairly efficient widespread as well, even though very little has so far surfaced regarding that company's operation. They seem to have expanded greatly in terms of educational and industrial applications. Early safety film was titled under different names. It carried the label like non-inflammable, in-inflammable, slow-burning, or various other names depending on the countries. It was basically cellulose acetate, or in modern terms, diacetate film. It was said that the tensile strength, as well as the emulsion being more vulnerable, basically kept the theatrical professional field from desiring to use these materials, even though they did have much better properties in terms of not being as easily inflamed. So in the teens, starting 1914, for example, you start reading quite a few articles in the New York Times about nitrate fires. Awareness was sort of growing of the danger of the professional standard film material, especially laboratories as well as plants that were reutilizing not needed stocks anymore. What do you call? Yeah, but how do you call those plants that sort of?
Reclamation
plants seem to have gone up in flames quite frequently. But I've just sort of sampled the New York Times on that. So does anyone recognize anyone on the film?